No, I was upset. I was like, I don't want to freaking die. So I go over to Georgia and I'm like, Georgia, give me a hug. Daddy's going to go to the hospital. And she goes, no, bye. And she just walks up the stairs. I'm like, oh, that's how I say bye to my daughter. All right.
Welcome to the Rising Tribe. I'm Jared.
And I'm Austin.
And our goal is to inspire young men to build strong families and discover their potential as men, husbands, and fathers.
And we'll do this by having authentic conversations about faith, family, health, and business as we strive to level up our lives and the lives around us. Welcome to our April episode of The Rising Tribe. Hello, Taylor here. Life just got really crazy. Dude,
people probably don't remember who we are.
I was funny because I told you as we were doing this, like, I don't think we've talked in a bit, man. It's been, on my side at least, I've just been running 10,000 miles an hour, getting, and I know you've got a ton of stuff going on your end.
No, same. Absolutely.
And here we are. And so I don't even know where to start exactly, other than the fact that a lot has changed for me in the last, like, probably 4 months. Because we had an episode after Greece, right? And then...
Yeah, well, we recorded one. We did our episodes in Greece after the Spartan races, and then we recorded one in December. And so all those are out. And that's the last conversation we had. And what's wild is in that conversation, you were still talking about how you were intending on starting this training company. And like I think you had made the decision, but you hadn't jumped in yet. Mm-hmm. And here we are now, it's what, April 12th, and you are like neck deep in all of this training and consulting, and I'm so excited, dude. I want to hear all about it. So from what I've been seeing, you had a guy follow you, because you had said that you had a videographer that was going to fly out with you to make all of these videos and stuff of your training.
Yep.
And then you built an online, like a membership page where you could go. And once you got access through paying for some of the services, then you would have access to the whole library of trainings. Yep. And then you have been, you've been reaching out to newer pest control companies who one of their biggest hurdles is quality training. And so you've reached out to them and you've started both providing the actual online trainings, videos and scripts and whatnot for people to use, as well as doing in-person trainings at different coordination meetings. And for people not in the door-to-door world, often you'll have all of your reps from a certain region. You'll meet up in the morning and have a coordination meeting, where like a training meeting where you practice, you learn, you go over certain details, and there's like education and goal setting and all that. And you do that in your meeting, and then everyone breaks, and then you head out to your areas and you start working. And so you've been going to some companies' coordination meetings, and then actually going out and selling with some of these companies to do like one-on-one or one-on-multiple trainings. So that's as much as I understand is what you're doing. That and the fact that it has blown up. So I want to hear all about what's going on and maybe some of the things that you've learned along the way.
Yeah. Dude, I think when we did that December episode, I was still like really, really nervous too. Like, I didn't know if it was going to work. And I don't think I was super open about this in our December episode, like publicly, but like in November, I had like a full blown, I don't know if I talked to you about this off mic, but like in November, I had like a full blown panic attack. Like, wait, did I tell you this at all? Oh my gosh. Okay. This would be a fun thing to start with, kind of like show the contrast of how life is right now.
Yeah.
So in November, I was like really, really nervous about what I was going to do for work. And I walked away from Anthem, who was paying me a salary to stay there and train all their guys. And I think as a dad, you really, and especially as a husband, but like even more so as a dad, you really want to make sure you're providing for your family. And so actually right now I've got a lot of clients that are like dads, and they're like, bro, yo, I'm broke. And I'm like, yeah, I understand where that pressure and that stress might be coming from. Because when I walked away from Anthem, I really felt like that was what I needed to do. but it was really scary. And so after nonstop traveling, I think, you know, going to Greece, going to my men's retreat, going on blitzes, like it all started to stack up. And I needed to be doing some of these things. Dude, Greece was so much fun with you. Like that was like total like bro trip. It was so fun.
Dude, it was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so dope. And I think it was just like this really strange time in life. Cause like, I didn't know how things were going to pan out, but we just got to go have fun. But then I got back home in November and we were in Arizona, and I was going to do my like third trifecta of the year out in Phoenix. And I think my body was just like, bro, stop. Like you're done. So, I was just driving home one night. Parley Brown from our visit, he let me borrow a Tesla while I was in town. So I'm driving this Tesla around town, and I'm talking to Allred. I still need to get back to him. This is the last time I ever talked to him. But Allred and I were talking, and my dad came up, right? Like my dad came up years ago. Caleb lost his dad, so we were talking about, we should have him on here one of these days, dude. But
that'd be awesome.
We were talking about that, and then my heart rate just like went from 67 beats per minute to 140. And I'm like sitting in the car, and I'm like, bro, I gotta go. I think I'm having a stroke. And that's the last time I physically talked to Caleb. Like actually talked to Caleb.
Caleb's in the medical field. Like he's probably wait, don't hang up. Hold on.
Yeah. So I texted Caleb. He texted me back and forth when I was at the ER. Cause like, I was like, yeah, Kai, I'm having a stroke. We got to go. Because like my heart rate was going up. Like when your heart rate spikes up like that, sometimes the blood flow in your body can feel a little off. So I'm like, oh, my left arm feels a little weird. So I was like, yeah, I'm cool. I was like, I'm dead. Like I'm done. So I go in, I'm like, tell Kaya, I'm like, yeah, we got to go to the ER right now. I'm having a stroke. And of course, if you're like talking, like, I don't understand if it, I could have, I've never had anything like that in my life happen. Okay. So my first thing is.
So
like,
it's just, you have no idea what even to like look at it. Cause I know people who are prone to panic attacks, and they know when they're coming, and they know what they are. But if you've never had one before, then like,
yeah, I was like, geez, yeah, this dude. Is it. Like I've lived a pretty good life. Just went to Greece with Jared. I'm like, all right. Like, I mean, but it was
you
also
could take
really,
me now.
No, I was upset. I was like, I don't want to freaking die. So I go over to Georgia and I'm like, Georgia, give me a hug. Daddy's going to go to the hospital. And she goes, no, bye. And she just walks up the stairs. I'm like, oh, that's how I say bye to my daughter. All right. But to give you some context, that whole thing happened. I went to the emergency room, and they're like, dude, you're fine. You just need a chill pill. And they gave me some medicine, and I chilled out. And that's it. And I'm like, wait. No, I'm not like – part of me wanted to be like, there's no way. Like, first of all, great. I'm happy that I'm not dying, but how is this – like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And they just told me it's a stress thing. I think it might have been like all the stress about not having anything set – being unsure about how I was going to run with my business, and like not being sure where I was going to sell and everything. So the point is this, is like, it was really scary in November and in December. And one of the biggest blessings for my business has been finding Patrick. So Patrick is the guy that did all my recording out in, when we went out there in October, and he was the one that really helped me kind of see the vision of like where I could take this thing. Because Patrick helped brand this thing called Black Wolf App, and it took them to like millions of followers on, you know, so like on Instagram and on TikTok and all of that. So he's really, really good at branding. Well, Patrick saw this vision, helped me create my logo, helped me find a course to host, like a website to host my course, and he's been so freaking helpful, dude. In helping me kind of, I had this vision of like, oh, I want to become a trainer. He's helping me brand myself as a trainer. And so I hired him out to do all the stuff that people see online for like my videos and everything, for all the cutting of edits and everything. That's Patrick. And the ideas, him and I just think of fun ideas now of like videos to do. Like you saw the Rex Kwando yesterday.
Yeah.
It's so much fun with that, dude. Or going to the Indian restaurant. Did you see that one too?
Yeah, I saw that one.
Okay. So I feel like as of like this afternoon, it'll hit 100,000 views. So like we've had a blast. But to answer your question, yes, like what I've done. So here's the issue that I'm like resolving, right? Because every business has to solve a problem. So what the problem is right now in the pest control world is all of the really, really high level trainers are married to companies. And even if they say they're not married to a company, there's always an ulterior motive to pull recruits over from other companies. What was my biggest weakness, which is recruiting, because I'm awful at it. I don't like to manage teams. I can train them, give them really good training, but I don't like the day-to-day management of teams. So what is my biggest weakness is now my biggest strength in my business, because I'm like the least threatening person in the world. I don't think that any company is better than another, and I just want to go train everybody. And so that's the hole that I've been able to fill, is there's a lot of companies that don't have Golden Door winners. They don't have high producers, but they need somebody to come in and train their guys to get to that level. And so I put together, I just give out my entire script free now, because I'm like, dude, this is the easiest way for me to have the quickest impact with no cost for rookies mm-hmm. that are like broke, right? So
right.
Just with my script alone, I'm having kids sell way more. And then with the reels, I mean, kids are, and this, I shouldn't say this, but like, kids, if you just do my reels, you'll sell more. Like if you just take advice from the reels, you'll sell more. But the products that I started launching are the actual course, which, dude, I've got like 10 videos from this week and last week that will upload. And I have this little Insta360 camera. And if I either at the beginning of the door, before I knock the door, or when I realize, okay, I could probably go somewhere with this conversation, I take out this little Insta360 and I say, and I have it recorded. And I say, by the way, all of this is being recorded for quality assurance and training purposes. We show this to reps later on. Anyways, and I keep pitching. Nobody cares. Because it's like when you answer the phone with like True Green or, you know, Home Depot, whatever.
Dude, every time you call your bank, like everybody is recording all of the conversations that you have for training and quality assurance
purposes. Dude, it's super normal. And so because I almost feel like it legitimizes everything more for me as a door-to-door guy. Because like, oh, he's recording this for training purposes. So that's even cooler. But I have some of the wildest film now. And we've packaged it into a course, and I made modules on how to sell, but now I actually allow reps to shadow me. And the reality is when you're like a second body shadowing me, it's good. It's a different like part of your brain that's learning, because you're actually physically there. I would argue with the videos I've put together, dude, like it's pretty much this, you're like a fly on the wall, because I think it's better. Because you can pause, go back, listen to what I said, take notes. Mm-hmm. But it's so good. People know that they're being recorded and filmed, and they still give the same good objections. The negotiation is still the same, and it's awesome. So I've been doing that, and really on the other, I picked up 5 one-on-one clients that has been so rewarding, and so. I guess I'm working with 5 individual clients. So Victor, Gabe, Madison, Ethan, and Beto. They're all people, very different situations. Beto's a business owner that wanted to go door to door, and that like homeboy sold 4 accounts yesterday, and he's never knocked doors until like this year. And like, dude, how cool
that's
is
awesome.
That?
Like, that is so awesome.
Gabe's one of my clients who's like been knocking doors for years, and it's more like we've been doing a lot of technical training. Ethan, Madison, their brother and sister. And so I'm helping them have their biggest years, like really in-depth training, technical stuff and mental training too. Cause they both go hand in hand. And that's one of the things like I've hired coaches year after year and none of them had ever done pest control. They're all like mindset gurus, which is great. I don't say that in a bad way, but it's good to have somebody that's done pest control to coach you in pest control.
Yeah. So, well, and for everyone listening, the door-to-door world or direct sales in general, it also goes for like people who sell cars, who sell products for their businesses, like anyone who's in a sales position. A tremendous amount of the job itself is a mental battle with yourself. especially when you're working on a commission only basis, everything that you produce comes from you, and you have to go out and find people and make the sale and close the sale, and then start over again. Like you're always starting back over. And then of course, you know, you have a bunch of, once you have a bunch of clients, then you're more likely to get more referrals moving forward. But really it is a tremendous mental battle, because there is no coasting. There's no ability to like kind of just like keep going to work and just get through another day. Like you've got to show up. And then every single day, all you do is face rejection. Over and over and over and over again. Like you knock 100, let's say you knock 100 doors. How many people are going to have a conversation with you in your case? Like if you knock 100 doors.
A lot. Sometimes not a lot.
So let's say 20 people actually like have a conversation with you that's more than 30 seconds long after 100 doors. Let's say 20 people actually talk to you. Out of that, you're probably going to have, depending on the rep, like if you're brand new, you might have one sale out of those 20, well, which is really out of those 100, right? And then a better rep might have 8 sales mm-hmm. out of those 100. And like that's it, you know, like in one sense it's a numbers game, but also it is a training and quality like practice. Like you've got to practice. And so I think what's huge is your ability to show people more reps, like not reps, like people knocking, reps, like repetitions, because now you're showing them a video of what you are actually doing. And I found when I was doing, when I was selling, they had a bunch of online videos of like walking through sales. And dude, I would be like, you just said, I'd pause, I'd go back, I'd write notes down, I'd play it forward, I'd go back. I'm like, how did he say that? This is the way that he's talking. This is the way that he's overcoming these objections. This is how he is calming the person down who has a misconception about, you know, you or about whatever you're selling, like, and being able to go through it over and over and over again, and then to get to practice that. And so I think to be able to do that, like, online versus like being in person, there is a ton of value in shadowing someone, but to be able to play the same rep over and over again and like practice and then move on to the next conversation, dude, I think is super valuable.
Yeah. Well, especially when, so this is just an example from yesterday. I was, it's a couple days ago, I was at the bagel shop out here, and I'm in Washington right now selling, and there is this place called Seize the Bagel. And so I think it's a really good door to door, you know, breakfast place, because you want to get your, you know, Seize the Bagel, which in door-to-door, if you get a 0 day, it's a bagel. So, and the bagels are just freaking good here. But I get a call or text message from like an angry customer that is just livid that I told him it was going to be like $69 a month. And he was just livid that it was like 74. And I'm like, dude, there's sales tax. Like that just, I mean, we're in Washington, I guess that, I told him that, but I guess it didn't just click. And so, you know, a guy came from California. I guess there's not sales tax down there. Well, what's cool is instead of me being like, oh my gosh, like customer's upset, like I have to go save it now, I literally called him back and I go, hey brother, I have to record this call for training purposes. And I just hit record call. And now I have a full like 10 minute audio of me rescuing an account. That's going to go straight to the course. So everything that happens is a just opportunity for me to be able to capture it and use it as training content. Now, obviously when we go through it, we doctor it, we get rid of names, we get rid of emails, phone numbers, addresses, no one will know who the heck these people are. Right. But like, it's so cool recently, dude, because like I've been able to help out so many people, dude. And the course is blowing up. Like we had 2 weeks ago when I launched an ad, we had like 30 people hop on board. And then this last week it slowed down. I thought the Rex Kwon Do ad was going to be like 50 people were going to buy the course. It only worked for one person. But I think that also goes to show with like marketing and stuff. Sometimes the stuff that like you slap together and you think is going to be, and yeah, like we're like, okay, we'll just put this thing together. It could work. It actually ends up hitting really big, and the stuff that you think is going to go viral doesn't. But the thing is, I still had so much fun filming. We did this thing called Mazer Kwon Do, and we stitched a video of me dressing up as Rex Kwon Do, overcoming spousal objections and do-it-yourself pest control stuff. So look at Mazer Sales Training and go watch it. if you haven't yet, for all of our listeners, but it's, I'm having so much fun, dude. And I think that's one thing.
Dude, that's so good
to
hear.
The money is already back. Like, the stuff that I was worried about at Anthem, like leaving Anthem and losing a salary and all this stuff, dude, like I've already made more money, set up reoccurring money, right? Like for the course, that's reoccurring revenue. I have to keep people, which is actually another conversation. Like, how do you keep somebody on there when it's not like a contract? Because like people technically could sign up for 2 months and get like $1,500 worth of value and then take it and run. So like, I'm going to end up changing pricing again, because I had pricing really low. People were, it didn't have as much value. Less people bought it. When I raised the pricing to like $100 a month to where it should be bare minimum, I had more people buy it, which goes to show like pricing shows value. So if your product's like super, super cheap, it'll be perceived as cheap. Whereas my product, I now have priced it up at like $100 a month and I get more people buying it, the new pricing. So
yeah,
cause that's what it ought to be worth, you know?
Yeah. Well, and what's important, what you're talking about, with like split testing and not knowing, hey, is this going to work or is this going to work? I don't know. That is the beauty of the free market, in that the market decides.
Yeah.
Like, you don't decide. There is no way for you to know exactly what is going to hit. Now, people, you know, have like a better inkling of like what's going to be popular or maybe not popular and whatnot, especially if the better that you know your audience. But in the end, like, you don't know. And yep. The only way to know is to put yourself out there and just send it and see what resonates with people. Like when I go through, when I look at the podcast episodes that I've done for the Military Miler, my credit card rewards podcast, the ones that like have taken, there were some that I was like, oh dude, this is definitely going to get like way more views. And I look at it and I'm like, nope, that is like bottom of the barrel. You know, like this is not this one. But then some of the ones that really have attracted a larger audience, I'm like, why yep. was that? Like, why did that one resonate with people? And of course, then what you got to do is like, try to look into and understand why people resonated with something over another thing and try to do more of the thing that resonates and less of the thing that doesn't. But ultimately, there's no way to know until you do it. And I think that's what, like that fear is what holds everybody back. It keeps everyone from like pursuing their dreams because they don't know. That you freaking had a panic attack.
Yeah.
And like went to the hospital because you were so nervous about the uncertainty. Like that's insane. Dude, that's really so insane. Scary. And here we are 4 months later and you've already like, you're already back on track, if not faster on track than where you were a year ago.
I think it shows too, like there was a need within the pest control industry and nobody has filled it. And now I have like within the next year, I'll be like the name for pet. Like when people think pest control, it's Austin Mazur, right? Like that's, and I already feel like I'm getting there. And we only have like got like 1600 followers on the Instagram page, but like it's grown so fast to where it's going to continue to grow. This year. So number one thing this year is finish Kaya's basement. Cause that was the plan last year. But I didn't have a big sales year. I was just kind of meh, and I didn't know what I was doing in life. And like I did, but I didn't have like the same fire that I have right now. Dude, I feel really alive right now. And
good.
So now like our goal is obviously we'll give Kaya her basement. So our basement, right? But it's mainly for her so we can homeschool our kids. And then I'm going to buy a Cybertruck, and that's going to be a big part of the branding. So,
Dude.
And we're going to keep
I'm jealous, man. That's awesome.
The bug killer license plate.
Yeah.
So I'll have a Cybertruck within the next like 16 months, hopefully sooner, but like we'll brand it and I'll just slap a big old Mazur Spartan helmet logo on it, which is so cool because us going to Greece, I was like, I love Spartans. I really like Spartans. Like how can I make that part of my logo? And I think, you know, we just took it and made an M, and now
I turned it into an M.
Yeah, it's our thing now. So
that's beautiful, dude.
Dude, I don't know if I told you this, but I committed to the winter death race. This is a totally off topic, but
you committed to the death race?
Yeah, I verbally committed, and so I've got to buy my flight to it. I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? Long story short, there was a guy in my men's group that wanted free tickets to a Spartan race. And Joe DeSena had previously said, hey, if you know friends that haven't run Spartan races, send them my way. We'll hook it up. And so I was like, okay, cool. Here's the email. It was after they had tried to rope me into doing the summer death race. I didn't want to do it. Well, they respond back. You know how these people are. They're nuts. And they're like, we will only provide codes when Austin confirms his attendance to the summer death race. And I go, no, but I'll go to the winter one. And so they sent the guy the codes. So I, there's like been a couple times where I turn on my shower water, just a little cold. And I'm like, and I'm like, this is going to feel warm one of these days. yeah. But yeah, that's a little update. That's just something that's just like, I don't even want to think about it too much.
I will pray for you, my brother. I will pray for you and Kaya and the babies.
If I lose a finger or anything to frostbite, it's good. Cause in door to door, you don't really need a whole lot. You just need your mouth and you need to be able to talk and that's about it.
Dude, that's awesome.
But yeah, dude, that's awesome. That's how the business is going, dude. And so like I've got right now, as of right now, this is, like you said, like the marketplace kind of determines like on how things go and how I need to adjust. But I'm trying to see how the fall off is going to be on these accounts, right? For people studying, because the whole idea is like to have kids make this a regular part of their routine, right? Where they wake up and they study major sales training. The kids who cancel are the ones that don't actually, the ones that I've seen cancel, I can look at their watch history. They've watched like two videos. So then that becomes, okay, how do I onboard people? Okay. Now how do I make it more part of their daily routine? So, which leads me to, we're turning the whole website into an app so that it can be on the phone and then it can be part of their daily routine. Right. So like, we want to make it part of their life. So, I mean, dude, it's just so much fun because we're learning. Cause like, I'm not hurting for the money right now. It's not about the money. It's about how do I create a good product to resolve a need for these pest control reps. And the money is just a byproduct of the value that I'm providing. Yeah, to
the money will follow.
People. Yeah. So it's so dope. Like, I'm having a blast doing this. Now I get to go to San Diego for 3 days. I get to coach them. I get to coach a team down in San Diego for 3 days. And I'm being paid as major sales training to go coach these reps, which is so cool. And then I'm going out to Atlanta for 2 weeks and I'm going to go coach the kids, the Canadian, there's a bunch of Canadians over at Anthem. I think the coolest thing that happened with my whole like journey so far is like taking the risk to leave Anthem. And then they later came back and were like, hey, we'd like to hire you for a 2 week camp. And that was just like really cool because number one, it shows that I did leave, like me and Anthem, Ben Morgan, that's like, he's my main guy at Anthem. Like him and I are really close. Yeah. We left on really good terms. I didn't do anything shady. He didn't do anything shady, which in business, you know, you hear a lot of stuff happen. Specifically in door to door, it can get really nasty. I've taken a lot of pride in keeping really good relationships because you never know when it's going to come back around to where you could either help one another, you know? So, and life's too short to make nasty, nasty decisions based off of business. It's just so, it's so dumb how people fight and ruin relationships over money and business. And so I made a good exit there and I was like very professional about it and it ended up working to everybody's benefit. So like, I'll go back and for 2 weeks and coach them. And then there's this other really cool market too, where like small business owners, they don't have any accounts. And so I've picked up a couple gigs. It's not a training gig. It's purely, they fly me out, they pay for my hotel, my rental car, and they just give me a truck and they let me go sell for a week. So I've set up a couple other of those gigs where they just want me to go pack on accounts. And the ticket price on that, like what business owners are willing to pay to get 30 to 50 accounts on a route, it's insane.
Wow.
Like it's more than what I make working in some of these other companies, like these door to door companies, but they really want dense routes. And so they need help, you know?
Yeah. Which because dense routes means that you're like the technicians that you send who are going to go out and service all these routes, it's making their time more effective, more efficient. And it costs the company significantly less to have someone tack on, let's say, a third house on the same street. Right. Versus just like two houses. Now you're making that much more money, but also it's not costing you very much. So I could definitely see how that would be hugely valuable.
Yeah. A lot of these companies want to learn door to door too. Like, so there's a huge, there's a market there for like, hey, I'll come out and I'll sell for you. Or, and then there's these same companies have expressed, hey, you know, we would love for you to come out and train our guys. Some of them are just building their door to door teams. Now back to my point earlier that I said, let's say there was a trainer from Aptiv, right? This is a very well-known name. The last thing that you want to do as a business owner is bring in homeboy from Aptiv to come train your reps that just started at, you know, John's Pest Control, because he's going to poach them. He's going to pull them over to Aptiv. They're going to see all the flashy stuff, all the trips, and they're going to leave. And so, or, you know, there's always an ulterior motive with those big companies. And so as I have clients on my course that are from Aptiv. Well, they're like a juggernaut. Like I got recruited by them over the last couple of months. They tried to make a push to have me go sell with them. Bottom line, there were too many restrictions on you can do this, you can't do that. But they are huge. They're like, they filled up an auditorium of people and it was insane, right? Like, it's so freaking big. And so, yeah, you don't want a trainer coming from Aptiv to come train your guys. But you do want a guy that just has no team, that just is going to come in, and then after that he goes back home to his family, and he doesn't want to recruit your reps, you know? So yeah, it's been so much fun. That's why I've been kind of MIA too. Like, all my energy kind of went busy, into that.
Dude. Yeah.
So I'm like,
that's awesome.
Stoked that we get to do this still. And I don't know about you, like the relationship with our podcast right now. I'm like, dude, I'm still having fun doing this episode right now. I actually thought I'd ask you this, but like, I think it's good that we're just kind of just doing it. Like, hey, let's do an episode now. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Well, it's interesting, because when we first talked about doing this podcast, we did it for a year, once a month, and then we decided, super, hey, let's try it. We nailed all of them, and then the next year we said, how about we. We'll do our regular episodes and we try and interview somebody as well every month. And it turned out that us living 8 time zones apart, and then you traveling all over the country, and then me traveling across several countries back and forth for all this work stuff, made the coordination that much more difficult. And also both of us have all the time and energy that we are putting into our, in this case, now your full-time job, this company that you started, and I've been dumping a ton of energy and time into both into work, because things at work are insane, but also into my travel rewards website and podcast.
Yeah.
And
so I want to hear how that's going, by the way, after this thought, right?
Yeah. we'll talk about it here in a sec. So we're dumping all of our energy, time and energy into these creative pursuits. And now that leaves the Rising Tribe to be our opportunity to like touch base and to talk about things that we're learning. That one of the things I love about the Beginning Balance podcast, which is Jesse Meekum and his buddy. So Jesse Meekum started YNAB, the company that it stands for, You Need a Budget. And it's like one of the biggest budgeting softwares out there. And it's super awesome. And I've been listening to their show. Like, they've got a couple different shows. I've been listening to them for years. But on Beginning Balance, it's just him and his buddy who like runs an accounting firm. And they talk about entrepreneurship. And like, they're like smoking and joking the whole time, but then they talk about just like random topics and things that are on their mind. And it's just like, it's really fascinating to listen to these two business owners talk about, you know, any number of things. And so I see this as like our opportunity to do the same thing and to touch base and continue learning from each other. And to catch up. And I mean, a huge part of what we set out to do was to record our conversations that we were having on the phone anyway. So now we get to do video calls and we get to record them, and then we get to go back and listen to them. And I still have people who reach out and say, like my buddy Jacob reached out and he was like, hey, recommendation for the Rising Tribe. I'd love for you to interview your wives and like ask them a bunch of questions. And I was like,
that'd be a fun
That's
episode.
A great idea. That's a great idea. Who knows how many people are actually watching this all the time, but like for us, dude, this is our record keeping and our log. Yeah. And I think it's wonderful. And fun when I like go back and I listen to an episode, or like when I'm editing, like getting to re-listen to the conversation that we had, I'm like, wow, that was what a powerful thing that Austin said here. And every now and then I'm like, oh wow, I sound, you know, reasonably intelligent here, you know? And it's like, It's kind of crazy to like step away from yourself and then jump back into a conversation that you guys just had.
When I, this is one random thought. When I listen to your voice, dude, you've got like one of the best, like if you could, if you had another, maybe in like a different universe, you're like a radio broadcaster.
Dude, I get told that all the time. I'm not kidding. At work, one of our senior master sergeants, he just like walks into my office and he's like, "Sir, have you ever thought about going into radio?" And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, you just have this voice of like, you sound like you probably go like that. You'd do very well in radio." And I was like, "What?" I actually host a couple podcasts. And like, I love this medium. I love podcasting because it really is the new radio show, you know,
you're right.
Except you get to tune into exactly what you want to do. And also I have dreams of like having, you know, like full on studios with like, with the lights and like the nice desks and the background of like the shelves of all these like crazy memorabilia and things that you've accrued over the years and whatnot. But I love this stuff, dude. And I don't know how much money you would have to pay me to convince me to not do this.
Like, it's so fun.
I just freaking love it, dude. Like I spent also on the flight, back out here from Venice to Philadelphia. Because I'm in California right now, and
same time zone. Yeah, this is the first time that's happened in a while.
First time since we were in Greece, and then before that, it was when I was in Atlanta, like 6 months before that. But yeah, on the flight over, because you're going from Europe to the United States, you're like moving backwards in time, and so if you leave in the afternoon, it's like still afternoon the entire time you're flying back. And so I was like wide awake. Everyone else is like sleeping on the flight. And I was just grinding through. I was prepping an episode. And so for my episodes, what I do is I write out the entire script. And then I, for the most part, sort of read it. I kind of like riff off of it, but I have to write out the entire thing. And I found that out after doing a few episodes, because here you and I can have a conversation and we can just go. We're just ready, set, go. And we're having a conversation. By myself, I cannot teach a subject like that. I mean, if you were here, I could sit down and like walk you through this thing and kind of go in whatever direction we wanted to. But when it comes to prepping a solo episode like that, dude, I have to write it out. And so I write out everything I'm thinking about. And the subject I was doing was how we earned Hyatt Globalist status last year through some work trips, and what all the different like impediments that being in the military caused to almost get us to the point where we almost didn't get the status. And earning that status it's already been worth like hundreds of dollars to us. And we have some stays coming up in the next couple months that are going to make it worth well over a couple thousand dollars, like a value for our family, which I was like so stoked about, which is why I was willing to go to like these extreme lengths for us to be able to stay at these super bougie hotels in Vienna and in Budapest and in Prague and like all over the place. So I was super stoked. But I prepped this. I'm not kidding. I think I wrote this outline for like 2.5 hours. And because like the ideas are just flowing. They're like, oh, that's right. This is really important. Oh, and this is really important. Oh, and we should talk about this. Oh, and if we're gonna mention this, we also got a like backlink to this other episode where we talked about this. And dude, it's going. And now I have to record that episode. Dude, it's probably gonna be an hour and a half. Like, I'm not kidding. It's gonna be a long episode, but I am so freaking stoked about it. Like, I love this stuff. And so as far as like, how's the podcast going? It's going really well. As far as like views and downloads go, this year's going a lot better than last year for sure.
Cool.
But also one of the struggles I've really had is getting in an episode every week. Cause that was the goal, and I've missed a couple weeks, this year. I think this calendar year, I think I've missed 4 weeks total.
Okay.
So like 2 weeks here, a week there and a week there. And like, it's something I wrestle with because, I very much struggle with perfectionism and wanting it to be exactly perfect. And so like as the week's going on, dude, and I'm spending, like, I probably spend 12 to 14 hours at work every day. And then on weekends I'm on phone calls. Like it never stops. And so then I run home. I play with the girls for like maybe an hour, and then we put them to bed, and then we go to bed. Cause then I got to get up early to lift and go back to work. Like the grind just does not stop. And so the time that I used to have I used to have like about a half an hour to like work on the podcast every day. No, dude, I'm like, it's not there.
And is this work's calling more of you right now?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we're prepping for our deployment in October, and we've got a bunch of exercises that we've got to do between now and then. And there's just like things in the military in Europe, things are a little bit bananas right now. And so it's taking a lot out of us. And so it's just more, it's more than it has been in the past. And so we are, and I think there are also definitely some time management improvements that I could make, abilities to like delegate responsibilities to others and, making sure that I do the most important thing first.
Yeah.
And not like, okay, well, I'm going to do a couple of these things because I can do them right now and I can knock them out, which is an easy win, but it's not what I actually need to do before I can even go home today, you know? And so there are improvements there. I don't want to make this sound like I'm perfect in all of those aspects, but it's just taken a lot more out of me than it used to. And so
yeah,
now I'm like struggling to make the time, to find the time to actually prep episodes and record them and get them out there. And on top of that, like just the recording, editing, and publishing side, like there's a good amount of legwork required for that. But then also there are so many other things that I want to take care of as well. Like there are certain pages on my website that I still need to get up that I've been like working on piece by piece by piece. And a couple of them are almost there. And then there are a few things I want to do with the Instagram page. I've been, you know, saving like reels and stuff, but I have all this like footage that I need to then go through and create the reels and create all of the, like the content and put them out there. And, and so I'm like, there's just like a lot of work to it. But what I have found is that like so many times people come up to me and they say, hey, I have a friend who's interested in credit cards, and I told them you would be the person to talk to. Yep. And I get text messages all the time like, hey, I think I remember you talking about this podcast that you have a podcast, something to do with credit cards. Like another family member reaches out who's like not in the military, but says, hey, can you send me your podcast on credit card rewards? Like the word of mouth is moving for sure. And just the other day, we had some friends out of nowhere, like dropped into Europe, and they came by our house for a couple of days, and we were talking, and I don't even remember how the conversation got brought up. I didn't bring it up because I try not to bring up credit card rewards, because the moment I do, then all I do is talk. And so, you're like, but if it comes up,
you're gone.
I think we were talking about, a trip that we were going to take and how we got a hotel on points. And he was like, oh, we opened this card because you mentioned it in your Facebook group a while back. And I thought, oh, that's a pretty good deal. And so we hopped on it. And I was like, dude, like, that's awesome. You know, like there was no way for me to know that he went in and did that and made a change in his life because of stuff that I'd put out there.
Yeah.
And what kind of really keeps me going with respect to this is like, there's a lot of like upfront legwork that's required in doing like in recording episodes and putting the content out there. But I know that this is all like, let's say an episode has 50 views, like basically nothing. An episode has 50 views. Well, right now it has 50 views, and maybe in a month it might have like 55, maybe in 2 months it might have like 65 or 70 or something. And you're still pumping out all the new episodes, but these ones in the background, like they're just kind of simmering in the back until you have crossed a certain threshold, until you've like hit some sort of catalyst. Like once, for example, all of the like reels go up on Instagram, once the reels go on TikTok, then all of the traffic, or you start casting a net and dragging it all towards the podcast, right? And so then all of the videos that you already have out there, now they all start to get more views. They all start to get more, and you have the baseline, like, or you have your foundation already built. And that was one of the most important things my brother talked to me about when I first started contemplating doing a website. He was like, you have to write 50 articles. Like, sit down and come up with a 25 article idea list first, and then you have to write all 25, and then you got to write 50. If you can do that and not get bored, if you can do that and not get tired of this, then you can make it. Yeah. But if you can't get through that, it's never going to take off. So it's not worth it. It's not worth it, but you've got to find out, because we all have good ideas, but we've got to figure out how much it really matters to us.
A couple of thoughts I had. So first thought, do you have an Instagram page for credit card that people can follow right now?
I do. Let me follow. It's called the Military Miler.
I think I might be following.
It's empty right now. I think you might be. The page is empty. So the page is there, and I have I need to go in and post some of the reels that I have, because I have a couple that are already created. I just haven't uploaded them yet.
Military Miler.
Miler, yeah.
Military Miler. Okay, _ Miler. I just followed it. Dude, your logo is sick. It's got like the orange and blue.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I like that. I've really. I've really taken to the to that branding. Created the logo and then, you know, changed some of the colors, and so now it's the same theme that runs through all my stuff. I think I'm gonna get some hats made. Yeah. Cause I really love snapbacks and, like flat billed hats. And so, I was thinking, I was like, you know, how dope would it be to make, like, just place an order just for kicks of like 10 of these and maybe like number them. And then like, I'll always get to wear like number one and then like just wear it around, dude, cause I freaking love it. This is like everyone who asks questions that people ask all the time, you know, like, oh, like what, you know, do you have any hobbies and whatnot? And I'm like, beware the territory we enter into, my friend, because yeah. this is my life, dude. I freaking love this stuff.
It's and I'm following it right. So I followed it on the major sales training page. So what I was gonna say is this. So like when you start, so what we're trying to do, a couple of things, and this is gonna be something that I might like throw your way to see what your thoughts are.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on outsourcing some of the stuff that's bogging you down? Are you worried about like there's got to be some Filipino guy that on Fiverr or something that'll, you know what I mean, like
yeah
that can edit it for, because like I've even thought with this, so back when me and you first started this, it was like, okay, Austin, because we trying to like share responsibilities, I suck at editing stuff, I suck at video stuff, I'm not good at it. And so what I've done for the major sales training is I just hired it out. I honestly think like for some of the stuff with this, I like to kind of help push our message for the Rising Tribe. The best way for me to get my part done, I think, is just to have somebody do it for me, like to just pay some money to do it. Right. Like, so like, that's what I'm saying. My question is this, is there a world where you offload some of that editing for the military miler, and is it realistic, like, to where you there, can just have somebody do it? Or
there is one of the struggles I have is that I love doing it.
Okay.
I love the editing. I love, like, I use Descript for, like, we're recording this on Squadcast, and Squadcast and Descript merged as companies. And so I take the file and I put it in Descript. And for the Rising Tribe, it's super easy. Like,
is it really?
You put it in there. Yeah. There are a couple like AI, tools that we pay for, and dude, it's just like click export and done. And I was just I like double checked to see if like if we had any, like if we had an issue, you know, like one of our kids hops on the call and like starts yelling or something, you know. You know, like I take, if that happens, I go in and I just like, you know, delete whatever like small piece of it is.
I had a live stream for like major sales training, and I told Kaya, I was like, please be home, I have a live stream. Like, these people actually pay money to hear this stuff. And so George is asleep. I'm like, please come home. And she stays. I'm not upset here, but she was stayed after at Burn Boot Camp and talked with her girlfriends. And I'm like, in this. So George is asleep in our bedroom. I'm in my office. And I'm just talking about like this sales training aspect. And all I hear is, Mama. It's just bloody murder. Just like screaming, and I had to like totally like hold her. She's like screaming her head off. I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. So that was like right after we had a huge influx of new buyers. So I still haven't even published that thing, because all you hear is just like this. You know those like Harry Potter plant things when you pull them up and they scream?
Oh yeah, the mandrakes, and you pull them out. And they're like,
yeah, basically there's like a mandrake in the background of my last live stream. But yeah, so like, going through and editing it out, kids stuff, like, yeah.
But really, like, and because it doesn't happen very much for the show, dude, it's pretty quick. And then same for the military miler. Like, going through, it's I've gotten very used to the tools, and so like we can crank through them. And then it's like exporting all the files and then getting ready to upload them. Like, I love doing it. I really do. I love building the YouTube thumbnails, like to put on YouTube and whatnot. And so I think that's also part of the issue, is that I really love doing it. I'm probably not the best at it. You know, there are probably people who spend all their time doing this who would be even better. And maybe, I can very much see a world where like I'm offloading this and it's not a big deal and it's a huge win, but for the time being, like, I
you like
love it.
So see, that would be the, so as long as problem. You love it, then it makes sense to continue doing. And then what you had talked, so okay, that was my first question. My second thing is, What's going to be cool for you is, and for both of us too, like you have the YouTube page, you have an Instagram page, and then a TikTok, right? And then they'll all start linking from one to another and just start funneling into each other. So that's what we're, what we've done is we've purposely held off on like on TikTok and on YouTube. And so we just have right now, we're looking at like 43 reels that we just have kind of in our pocket. And then we're just going to dump one a day for TikTok. It's really easy to go viral. And so, so we're going to hold off and then like put a bunch of content on TikTok. And then we already know from the marketplace, which one will be our viral one. It's me ordering Indian food. That'll go really well.
Oh yeah. So
that'll be a good boost. And then, there's a couple other, but like back to what you're saying earlier, like, yeah, it's kind of just fun to create something, dude. Like me and you both, like, this is what I like about doing this. Cause dude, there were some parts where I'm like last year, I just felt bad. I'm like, man, I feel bad. I let Jared down. Cause I'm like, we want to do two a month. I'm like, dude, the whole purpose isn't that been about volume with this. It's just about, hey, like connecting, growing together, sharing what we're learning. And so, I've kind of come to terms with that. I'm like, okay, this is a third question, but, it's cool that we both get to share about these little things that we're growing, right? Like you're growing military mile, or I'm growing major sales training, and we can continue to reflect ideas off of each other. But dude, do those, like you said, those like four things that you've missed those weeks, do those ever haunt you at all? I'm asking because I'm like, how do you move on from that? Does that haunting make you want to do better, or does it actually make you miss more weeks? That's me kind of like picking your brain, kind of like how you operate with that.
Last year I worked very hard to not miss, once I started recording, I worked very hard to not miss weeks. And when the episodes go out on Monday, and so if Monday would roll around, like if I didn't record, I'd record like late Monday night and still like publish it and get it out. And as time has gone on, like if I missed a Monday, I would record two episodes and then like backdate one of them to the Monday. And then like, I'd get the next one out. But this year there have been several things that have come up. I've had to like sit down in the mirror and like have this conversation with myself of what matters most. And are you going to, like when we have like a bunch of family visiting and like we're out and about and we're traveling and whatnot, like what I should have done is I should have prepared for this and recorded, you know, 2 weeks ago and had a backlog of episodes. Like that's the answer. That's what I should have done. But here we are and I haven't done that yet. So now what do I do?
Yeah.
And what I would have done last year is I would have had to then try and like make it up and then like backdate the episode and like put it back in. But this year instead, like when it comes up, I still work very hard to not miss one. But like if I miss it, then I just need to prep the next episode. Like I just need to get the next one out and try hard to not make it a second one. Just keep going.
Yeah.
And this was a huge thing last year. So in during Come Follow Me, when we're reading the Book of Mormon, dude, I was starting to get behind about halfway through the year. And every time like a new week would come out, I'd say, I just got to finish last week's and then I'll jump onto this week's. And then I would get a little bit more behind. And then, I still got to finish that week. And then I'll catch up. By the end of the year, dude, I was like a quarter of the book behind. Like I was so far behind. Yeah. And what I realized is I ended up missing out on so many of the conversations that we'd have on Sunday about like the current material, or like with my wife, who's, you know, she maybe doesn't get to all of the readings every week, but she just continues on. She just keeps going. So like if you're supposed to read chapters 1 through 5 and she only reads 3, well then the next week, like she just reads 6 through 10, you know, like she just gets to the next part to try and keep up. And that is kind of towards the end of the year. She's like, honestly, you should probably just try to keep up, you know, and if things fall through the cracks, they fall through the cracks, but you're going to miss out more by trying to catch up, because eventually you get to the point where like, you can't, You can't catch up. There's too much. There isn't enough time to do it all. And so you're just going to, and at some point when it seems like infinity, then what's the motivation to keep going? What's the motivation to try and do a little bit more? Like there isn't, because the hill's too tall to climb. And so the weeks that I've missed, like it sucks and it eats at me, especially when like there were 2 weeks that I missed that were right after one of my biggest weeks. And I was like, dang, like I really kind of let myself get in my own way by like not planning ahead of time, but I'm going to get the next episode out. Like that's what I got to do. So we're just going to keep going.
That whole idea of like I miss this, therefore I've got to go back and do it. I feel like that hits a lot of the door-to-door sales reps too. Like the frames, like people don't frame their goals very well sometimes when like they'll have, maybe for me example, like let's use me as an example right now. Like I could have like, I've had a very like average week. It has not been a very large sales week. I think I'm sitting at like $15,500 in revenue of pest control. But dude, I've done 10,000 in a day before, and now I've done 5 days and I'm at 15,000, right? So I think there's two kind of mindsets I can have. I could be like, oh my gosh, like my goal was 30,000 this week. I only have one more day. I need to do 15,000 a day. It's like, dude, if I think like that, like it's okay to think like that. Like I'm capable of having a big day, but if right. I let that compound throughout the month, like, oh my gosh, I'm 60 grand away from my monthly goal or X, I'm just sharing random numbers right now. Yeah, it just takes away all motivations. It's like, dude, just reset, start today. Right. And so that's the mindset I have going into today, for example, where it's like, dude, if I can finish this week with over 20 grand in revenue, huge win. Was it the original goal? Right. No, but sometimes it's okay to pivot. Like I have this conversation with sales reps when they're like 2 months left into their summer. It's either, are you going to change anything? Are you going to dramatically change what you're doing? Or are you just going to adjust your goal to where you're not just like completely depressed every day? If a kid's rep is to sell 750K and they're at 200K at the very end of the summer, they're going to constantly feel like a failure unless they say, okay, the new target is, you know, 300K or whatever. Like now we're excited because now it's like actually attainable, right? So, I just you sharing that because I just thought like it's that skill set of just being able to be like, well, crap happens, I'm gonna keep going. Like that's a really good way to look at it. So
have you ever played are you a big board game player, like playing games and stuff?
Which one?
I'm just thinking like about board games in general, but they're in a lot of games, like kind of strategy based games, you're kind of setting plans in motion and trying to like set yourself up. So like later on in the game, you have some like big wins and stuff. And maybe you're like holding on to certain cards that you're like, okay, it'll be really great to play this card, you know, but I got to wait a little bit longer. I got to wait a little bit. Okay. Now it'll be really great to play this card. But sometimes you get so far into the game that card is now not worth very much to you. Because it's a card that's worth playing at the beginning of the game because of the number of times you'll get to use it. But if you wait too long, then its value isn't very high and the cost is still the same. So it's the idea of learning when to cut your losses. And we hold on to things, I think, too long. And we get to a point where it starts to drag us down because of the guilt behind it. Like in this case, like board games, I've been saving this card. I spent this time holding on to this card this whole time. Now I have to play it to justify having spent all this time like prepping for this. When in reality, maybe you just drew a new card that is a better fit for you right now to play. Sunken and if you cost. Can't, yeah, it is. It's the sunk cost fallacy of like, well, I've already paid it, so I have to now get my value out of it. The answer is the money's gone. Like it's already gone. The time's gone. There's nothing you can do about it. So
that's funny.
Something I'm thinking about, very real thing. I signed me and Marisha up to go to a Tony Robbins conference. Later on this year in September. Yeah, one of the in-person ones. He's doing one in-person one in Europe. And I'm super excited. And I did a free like 3-day event back in March, and it was phenomenal. I loved it. And at the end, they always try to like sell you a package of, you know, self-improvement package, et cetera. Well, one of the packages that they offered included a ticket to, the Unleash the Power Within, like the virtual event in March. And, through some like back and forth, kind of in like the QA section, they said that if you wanted to trade that, virtual Unleash the Power Within for an in-person ticket, it would cost $300 like extra. And I was like, sweet, like, that's great, because, you know, I'm only paying this much here. And so then if I could do that, and someone asked, like, would this also be available for the Unleash the Power Within in Europe? And they said, yes. And so then I was like, okay, so then I'm like running the numbers. I'm like, okay, so then if I purchase this package and I purchase, and you could purchase an additional ticket for someone else so that both of you could go. I was like, if I purchase that, it's going to cost this much money. And then if I go through and I try to upgrade this to an in-person event in Europe, then it's going to cost this much. I'm going to save, you know, $400 on the tickets, like altogether, which would be a huge win, versus like just buying the tickets to Unleash the Power Within in Europe, just like right off the bat. So I was like, so sick, this is going to be a win. Well, after, so I purchased the thing, and then we go through, and I didn't really, I kind of like talked to Marisha about it, like one of the nights, and she was like, cause it would be, we would go for this, we'd go up for like probably 5 days up to Germany, just me and Marisha. We're going to fly my mom out to watch the girls. And so Marisha and I would just go, just the two of us. I got us a really nice hotel and like a nice suite for us to have for that week. And then we would just kind of get to do this thing together, the two of us, like a few weeks before, I deploy for probably 6 to 8 months. And so I was like, I really think this would be a really beneficial thing for us, for our relationship and for us individually, just before we go and do this hard thing. And I talked to Marisha about it. I didn't give her any of the numbers or anything, but I just told her, I'm like, hey, I'm really thinking about this. And she's like, yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm also doing this like online conference thing at like, it's the middle of the night. It starts at 11 PM for me because of the time zone difference. And so you're muted.
I said, I remember when you were doing this.
Yeah. And it was fantastic, but I'm doing it from like 11 to 2 o'clock in the morning, or I don't remember exactly the times, but it's like, it's all in the middle of the night. And Marisha was, understandably a little bit upset because it's a 3-day thing. It was a Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday. And I took Thursday off from work, and then Friday was a holiday, so I wasn't going to have to work anyway. But I did that so I could attend, but that also meant that I was eating into our weekend, because now I'm like, I'm up super late, and then I like sleeping in, and then I'm like not, you know, I'm just not as available for my wife and for our daughters. And so then I one of the nights I talked to her about the in-person thing. She's like, I don't know who Tony Robbins is, but like, it sounds like a great thing. And I was like, perfect. And I took that as a go ahead, buy the tickets, do all the things. And so then I go back and I, you know, hey, this promotion is only going to run until here. And I'm like, wow, but the numbers make sense. So I purchased like that initial package. And then, I sent the customer service reps like my information so I could do the upgrade. Well, the upgrade to Europe was significantly more expensive than what the upgrade to the United States was. And this is information I didn't know at the time, right? And so I'm emailing them back and forth. I'm like, hey, you said it was only going to cost this much. Like now at the discount that you're giving me, it's like, it's the same price. If not like, you know, maybe $100 more expensive than if we had just bought the tickets outright. So like, what am I, or no, it's not, sorry. It's not $100 more expensive. $100 more expensive because the price is in euros, not dollars, which then adds like a 10% difference. So anyway, I'm like, so this isn't, I mean, it's not a loss, but it's not the win that I thought it was based on the information I had at the time. And so now they're like, we're sorry. Like if you want a refund or if you want to go to a different event in the States, you can, but like, this is it. And I was like, well, frick, dude. And so now I'm looking at like, for us to go, it's going to cost us another $1,000 to like attend this thing compared to like what we've already paid, but it's going to cost us about $400 more than what I thought it was going to based on, like that initial purchase. And so I still think it's worth it for us to go. But, like Marisha and I have had to have conversations about like, you know, I'm sorry that I kind of like jumped on this. I can be impulsive at times, and I committed like a bunch of money. I, for us to go to this thing. And also now it's going to be more expensive than I thought it was going to be. I was trying to make it cheaper, but in the end I didn't. And now it's just like the same price as it was going to be all the time. So like now we have to cross that bridge. And the question will be like, do we go? Because Marisha's also talked about this. Like she doesn't think this is something she's really going to enjoy. Like she doesn't know who Tony Robbins is. She's not like super deep in like the personal development world, which is like where we live, you know, where you and I live. The constant like mindset and improvement and limiting beliefs and overcoming them and doing hard things and like moving forward. And she's like, spending 12 hours a day for 5 days at this event does not sound like a party to me. Like it does not sound like something I want to do. And I'm like, I don't even really know how to like explain this, but I still think this is so valuable. And so like, things have been going so crazy. People visiting and stuff, we haven't had a chance to like sit down and really like talk about it. And so now talking about the sunk cost fallacy, like the question will come up, like, do we just let it go? Do we just not get tickets? And do we just not go? Like I can't recoup the money that I've already spent on, like on the package. And there were some benefits and trainings and course stuff that I got from paying like that upfront package anyway. So I did get value out of it, but do we commit the extra money to go and to like make this happen and fly my mom out here and go get the hotel and all the things, or like, do we let it go? And there's the part of me that's like, well, we already spent the time and the energy and the money and the like, difficult conversation. So like, we still need to go, but also we don't need to go because there's not like, we're not committed to it in that sense. And like money's already been spent, time and energy has already been spent. So like, do we just not do it?
I had the same thing happen like with that Spartan race that I was gonna go do in Arizona after a little ER trip.
Yeah.
I think it was like $1,800 that I paid for that. I'm like, this is the cost of not managing stress. Also it's also just like the reality of like jumping into scary stuff, right?
But yeah.
I haven't had anything since. But what I'm going with this is like I was like, yeah, I'm not doing the full three races, even though that was harder for me not to do. It was like harder for me to be like, no, I already bought the three tickets, but I'm not going to do the other two races. So I just did a 5K. And then we got home and there was another marathon I had signed up for. And I was like, dude, like I bought the ticket. There was that big pressure to go. And I was like, do I really even want to go? Like if I hadn't bought, if the ticket were free, would I want to go? And I'm like, probably not. The only reason I want to go is because of the money. But I was going to tell you, if you have an extra ticket and you need someone to go with, I'll go with you. So I was jumping on that.
Thanks, dude.
But no, but with that, like I feel like I've got to try to get my wife into like the like, hey, you should do this event with me. And I think it's okay to want to do that because it's like bonding time together.
Yeah.
I wonder where that desire comes from. It's like, hey, you should come do this with me because me and you both get really excited about that stuff.
Oh yeah.
I really want to take my wife on like a couples retreat through that one men's group that I did. Well, it's not men's group. It's a, you know, the collective.
The collective. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, dude, if you're ever in a position where you can go do it, that was a dope program to go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just cause you have to be there in person though. Otherwise it makes no sense, you know, but like,
yeah,
Corey's put together something special, but he's got like marriage retreats, which will be kind of fun. And I think I finally got Kaya open to the idea of it. I like doing experiences, and those are so fun. They do the breath work stuff, and it's like group work, and it's dope. So hikes and, you know, events. Yeah. I think there's a big market for that, for like, you know.
Oh,
like
yeah. Well,
experiences. Well,
and I think part of it's also like the time and place and location where you can have all of the conversations, like this, you know, like this hotel room that I got, I used a suite upgrade, got this nice room. I'm like, when I was looking at it, when I looked at the room, I was like, this is a place where we can sit down and talk, like just us, you know, where we can have these deep conversations. And I was thinking about the event and I was like, yeah, there might be, you know, several thousands of people at this Tony Robbins event. But what matters is that me and my wife are next to each other.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, like that the two of us are doing this together. I do not care what the dude all the way over there is doing, or that person, or that person, or even the dude like three seats down from us. Like none of them matter. None of them matter to me at all. Like when I'm here, it is me and the event. Like it's just us. And then in this case, like I want to do this with my wife. And
yeah.
And what I'm, you know, they have like the fire walk event, you know, where you like walk across the coals and stuff. And like, you're like, Tony Robbins events, you know, they're pretty like upbeat and like you're moving and like shouting, and there's tons of music and like, you're really getting you're changing your state, before you change anything else. And I'm like stoked about that. And there's definitely like that anxiety of like the social, we'll call it social impacts of like you being with a bunch of other strangers all doing the same thing. And to me, I'm like, well, great. They're all strangers. I don't know any of them. So who cares? but to my wife, it's, they're a bunch of strangers and they're all going to be judging us the entire time. I'm like, no, they don't matter. None of them matter, you know? But I think like, I really think it would be the opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to have some breakthrough. It's not that we're having issues, but like for us to dig deeper and find, you know, maybe what things are we doing that could be better, like between us as a couple, as parents, like with our kids, and in what ways am I just not living up to everything that I could be and not realizing it?
Yeah, those events are huge. So I mean, if I'm you, on that one, as long as it aligns like with what you want, like it could be something fun to do with her. But
I very much want to do it, and she's already like, she talks about it like we are going and we're gonna go do it. But Send like it. she's kind of like mentally preparing herself. I just have to tell her it's gonna cost us $1,000. So
I think it's gonna. I think you're gonna make more than $1,000 off of what you learn there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But dude, this has been fun.
All right, dude. This has been awesome. We should probably wrap it up since I know you gotta head out to the doors, and I got some stuff I gotta take care of. But
I love you, man.
This has been great. Thank you so much, Austin. I love you too, man. This has been a great conversation. I'm glad we've been able to just sync up and just catch up, dude. And I'm so happy about you and your business right now. Like I love seeing it like explode, and I love watching your videos, dude. I'm like, this is gold. This is so, so good. So I'm wishing you all the success, man. Really am.
Thank you, man. We'll do another one in the next month or two and just keep it going, dude.
All right.
Hey.
All right, dude. Love, I'll catch you later. See ya.